Blog Talk Radio.
In these days of tea parties and constitution rallies, we're all looking back to our founding fathers for a little bit of wisdom. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting the brush fires of freedom in the hearts of men." This is the voice of an irate, tireless minority of one. We'll be talking about politics, religion, and doing what's right. And you can call me Mom.
You're lost, you don't know where you are, you're all alone. You're in the dark and you don't know where to find the light.
Last week couldn't have a chat room, and I could not bring my guest on, who is not actually, oh, there we go, hopefully that's him. For this week's show, we have a guest, Wild Bill for America, and he is working on something called the Outlaws Chapel, and I hope that he will come on and tell us about that. Hello.
Hey, this is Wild Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for being on. It's a blessing to me because I'm not supposed to be talking quite this much yet. But tell us about yourself and what you're doing.
Well, my mission in life as Wild Bill for America is doing YouTube videos for the purpose of calling this nation back to the God and country principles that founded this nation and were the keys to the success of the USA. As you well know, this country has pretty much walked away from those principles, and now we are suffering the consequences. You know, things are getting worse by the day. You know, we see the storm clouds of persecution forming over the USA, and the Christians of America have been targeted by some pretty vicious people. And one of their tactics is to pass laws that stomp on our First Amendment rights to express ourselves and to freely practice our faith in the USA. And probably the final straw for me was that disgraceful Supreme Court decision a while back when the Supreme Court decided that they were going to take authority over the institution of marriage, which was the first institution God created. And when they did that and decided that they could make sexual perversion to be on an equal par with God's institute of marriage, it literally opened Pandora's box to vicious attacks against Christians all over this country. And we've seen it, you know, in the wedding cake fiascos and the wedding chapel nonsense, and now with the bathroom bills. excuse me. I decided that it's time to strike out in a new direction, and I launched what is called the Outlaws Chapel on the internet. And the motto of the Outlaws Chapel is this: when the laws of men violate the laws of God, our duty is clear. We must obey God rather than men. And this is a place on the internet for men and women of faith who are ready to take a stand. You know, one of the main reasons that the USA has gotten so far off course has been the shameful silence of the Christian church in America. You know, when that outrageous Supreme Court decision threw prayer in the Bible out of our schools, we didn't say a word. We just let it happen without a peep. It's like the Christians just shrugged their shoulders, said, "Oh, well, there's nothing we can do." And it's gone downhill ever since. You know, there's that old biblical law about sowing and reaping. It says whatever you sow is what you're going to reap, and We've been sowing some bad seed in our country for decades, starting with those lousy Supreme Court decisions, taking the Bible and prayer out of schools, tearing down the Ten Commandments monuments, and replacing it with godless, hateful secularism. And now, after a couple of generations, we're reaping the crop of all that bad seed that was sown, and man, it's getting ugly out there. So we as Christians need to step up and start sowing good seed back into our communities. That's the only way we're going to turn this around. So the Outlaws Chapel is there for the men and women of faith who are ready to take a stand and who have the courage to stand up for God, even if it means violating the laws of men.
And that's an important thing, isn't it? Because I've been thinking about this for a while. I used to say that America is dying of embarrassment, meaning, by which I meant that people were not speaking up for fear of being labeled fringe, because the safest place in the herd is in the middle. Of course, then all the food's been trampled and pooped on by everybody else, but that's the safest place. And if you want to be safe, that's where you go. But America isn't about being safe, is it?
Well, it's not supposed to be. But you know what? Years of traveling this country, visiting and speaking in churches, I have come to the conclusion that the average Christian in this nation has two goals. The first is to make themselves as comfortable as possible until the day they die. And the second one is to make it all the way through life without ever offending anybody. What do you think the Lord Jesus will have to say about that on Judgment Day?
I'm thinking I'd rather be out of the range of that whip.
Yeah, Winston Churchill once said, "You have enemies? Good. It means you have stood for something in your life." And, man, that is so true. That is so true. And, you know, the apostles set the example for us. They went out and they followed Christ's command to go and make disciples. And they were hauled into court in the book of Acts, and they were warned by the courts not to preach in the name of Jesus, which is basically what our courts have been telling us. And the disciples answered them. They said, "We must obey God rather than men." And that is where the motto of the Outlaws Chapel comes from. Now, a lot of people out there, Christians, like to throw Romans chapter 13 at us, where, you know, the first few sentences says, "Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority established except that which has been established by God." Well, you know, you can't take that as just a blanket statement. You have to take it in context. It goes on to say that the government has been established to do good. But you know what? When your own government switches from doing good to promoting evil and outright blasphemy against God, the Christian just cannot walk down that road. And I think, you know, the apostles gave us the example for that. And so did John the Baptist. Remember what John the Baptist did after he had a successful run as the forerunner of the Messiah? Remember what his second job was?
To confront publicly, evil.
Say again?
I said he went and told Herod, "You can't be sleeping with your brother's wife."
Yeah. He challenged the king publicly, specifically about the king's sexual practices. Gee, do you think the king needs to be challenged today? And, you know, so with John the Baptist and the apostles as our examples, how can we sit silent when this tsunami of perversion is sweeping across our nation? And, you know, Jesus also said that we are to be the light of the world. He said, "Let your light shine before men." And he went on to say, "You don't light a lamp and put it under a basket. No, you put it on a lampstand so that everybody can see the light." Well, one of my concerns is that I think the church buildings have become the baskets under which we have hidden the light. You know, we're really good at preaching the word to each other every Sunday morning behind closed doors where the people out there in the world who most desperately need to hear the message can't see us or hear us. You talk about being in the middle of the herd. Well, that's where the herd is. They're safe and sound behind closed doors every Sunday morning. And there's been kind of a, I guess you'd call it an uneasy truce between the hounds of hell and the Christian church. As long as we stayed behind closed doors and just sang hymns to each other, they left us alone. But man, if we try to bring the word of God back into the public square where it was for the first 230 years of this nation's existence, the hounds of hell set upon us viciously. And, you know, in ages past, the followers of Christ, they risked their lives. They were tortured, burned at the stake, strangled, chopped to pieces, fed to wild animals. But they still went out and they spoke with courage in the name of Jesus Christ. Here in the USA, we have been totally silenced because we're afraid we might be called names.
Yep. And that's an important thing. If you look in the Bible, you'll see that a lot of times, even the prophets don't want to do what God told them to because they're afraid of being ostracized or called names. Kings don't want to do what they know they're supposed to do because they're afraid they'll be called names. Kings, can you believe that? And there's you're talking in the very aggressive church manner of, you know, the way men should. And from the female perspective, which is supposed to be softer and more loving, you don't love people by enabling the crazy. It's not loving. You know, really, it's not loving to see somebody engaging in deviant behavior. And I say that not as a pejorative, but as that's the descriptive term for somebody whose behavior deviates from the norm. You don't see somebody behaving in a deviant fashion and accept that. That's bad for them. It is bad for them to be a homosexual. The health risks are horrible. And yet here we sit saying, oh, come on into the church, and we love you just as we love everybody else, and it's perfectly okay if you sin against God right in front of us and are unrepentant about it. Would they say the same thing for any other sin? Are they saying to murderers, oh, you feel like you just have to murder people and that's the way you were born. Come on into the church. We love you anyway. You can keep murdering people. Would we say that?
Well, I don't know. They haven't tried that yet.
It's one thing to accept a repentant sinner, but somebody who says, I'm a murderer and I enjoy it and that's the way I was born, I don't think I want that person even living near me.
Yeah, why did God make you this way? It can apply to a lot of things. Well, I thought I was going to have a showdown with a church a few weeks ago. I'm a member of the Black Robe Regiment, which is a group of pastors who are stepping up to speak out boldly in public about the hot issues of the day. You know, these pastors are taking on the IRS and a whole bunch of other bad guys. And well, anyway, this church in Daytona Beach was listed as one of the Black Robe Regiment churches. So I said, well, I got to go meet this pastor. You know, I thought I might find an ally. And turns out that it was nothing remotely like Black Robe Regiment. This pastor had less testosterone than Hillary Clinton, which I guess isn't saying much. And his sermon was on the prodigal son. And his message was that the prodigal son, you know, coming back and the father welcoming the son was a picture of God welcoming homosexuals into the church. You know, and I sit right up front whenever I visit a church because it shows respect for the pastor. So here I was in this big church, first time visitor, and I'm stewing. And part of the program later on was they were going to welcome two lesbians into the fellowship. And so I'm sitting there thinking, what am I to do? What is my duty sitting there up front in this obviously apostate church and a preacher teaching false biblical doctrine. And well, I was ready for the showdown, but it turns out that Gertie and her faithful companion never showed up to be welcomed into the church, so the showdown didn't happen. And as I was walking out, I asked the pastor about the Black Robe Regiment, and he had no idea what I was talking about, and I didn't bother to tell him because it would certainly not be a good fit. But anyway, I was just so disappointed in that church because I looked up the denomination before I went there, and their national platform is rock solid Christian. I don't know if this guy was an aberration or if the whole denomination is going downhill, but I tell you, I estimate that at least 40% of the churches in America are apostate. They have broken away from God and have placed their opinions over God's word. And that is a very dangerous road to be on.
Well, you know, one of the first breakdowns in the church, in my opinion, came along with the pill, because when the pill made it so that you didn't have to be responsible for your sexual practices. If you,
yep.
you know, oh, you can't get pregnant. And if she got pregnant, it's because she didn't take precautions. And I'm gonna rag on men here a little bit, even though I'm not much of a feminist. But men had a choice right there to say,
yes.
It doesn't matter if we have birth control, we are still responsible for the children we create. And by and large, yep. In the culture, they did not. And
well,
when's the last time you heard a pastor preaching against premarital sex?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I think God holds the men as first and foremost responsible for such things. But yeah, easy sex gradually led to that replacing Christianity as the national religion. America is now, the national religion is the pursuit of orgasms. Any time, any place, with any person, thing, species, dead or alive, that's what counts, is pursuing their sexual pleasures. You know, and that pretty much fulfills Romans chapter 1, God's description of mankind. And it definitely says that we are in the last days. Things are really shaping up to get dramatic in the next few years. And I'd tell you, the presidential election coming up, I think that is the make it or break it day for the United States of America. This country's been involved in serious national sins, abortion, homosexuality, and the embracing of false religions, namely Islam. And all three of those things bring down the judgment of God on a nation. And a lot of people have been praying for revival, but there's a lot of people who see the hand of God's judgment about to fall on America. And I think we've been seeing warning signs of that for about the last 10 years.
I said God is efficient. Of course we have. If we are not out there witnessing to the Muslims to keep them coming to Christ, then what happens? The population of Muslims builds up, they're unopposed, and I say Muslims, not the followers of Islam, because at this point in history, I think we have enough evidence out there in the public knowledge so that anyone who claims to be a follower of Islam should be held responsible for being aware of what that religion says. They can be in denial about it all they like, but they are aware, and they have to make a choice. If that's not what they want, then they need to convert. But so we've got this surge of Muslims. That's just the logical result of the church not evangelizing them, in my opinion.
Well, yeah. When the church withdrew from the public culture, it left a vacuum, and that vacuum was quickly filled by the enemies of faith. They were thrilled to take over the schools so that they could direct the children of this nation. And the godless liberals, they follow the same God that Islam follows, God with a little g, and they're partners in crime. So, anyway.
And the very idea that a person in public office would have to leave their faith at the door is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. We have freedom of religion so that people can exercise that freedom of religion and live according to their religious principles. And you don't leave those, you don't leave any principles at the door when you go into work. You either have principles or preferences. And if you can leave it at the door, it's a preference. I'm not seeing people who are willing to bring it in with them in this presidential race. If they
I can tell you, if people would educate themselves on the founding fathers and how our ancestors lived, respect for Christianity was first and foremost in the minds of the American people. One of the most common things was people say, oh, would that be the Christian thing to do, or that would not be the Christian thing to do? If you've ever looked at either the Patriot's Bible or the Founder's Bible, they are just packed full of information about the Christian roots of America. And you know one reason why the Muslims took this long to begin invading the USA? It's because their imams were afraid that the Muslims would come to America, be exposed to Christianity, and convert. But now, over the last 8 years, they've realized they don't have to worry about that anymore. Only place where they are in danger of being exposed to Christianity would be if they wandered into a Bible-believing church, and we know that's not going to happen. So they are free to invade. But that also tells us what the best medicine is to cure the cancer of this false religion. That is for the men and women of faith to pick up the banner of God and country and march it right back into the public square where it belongs. That's one of the missions of Outlaws Chapel, for men and women who are not afraid to get out there and take a stand for Christ. People who want to invest their lives in a way that will make a difference, both now and in eternity.
You sound like my son. He says, I am waiting for my church for me to, you know, he goes to a lot of churches because he's a musician and they hire him to play. And he says, I am waiting for a church where I go in and the pastor says, you know what, for today's service, let's all grab our Bibles and go out and talk to the people in the neighborhood. So far, it hasn't happened.
Yeah, that would make a YouTube video.
I bet it would.
Yeah, well, I tell you, you know, the Outlaws Chapel is getting started, and if people want to take a look at that, it's just outlawschapel.com. And I'm encouraging the people who join up with the Outlaws Chapel to begin forming a home group. Find some like-minded friends and start getting your team together. And I'm going to be doing videos every week that will be, hopefully inspirational and instructional on how to be a faithful and effective ambassador of Christ and how to deal with the people that they will come up against. You know, the enemies of faith, they have been using intimidation so effectively for so many years that will be the very first attack that they will launch on you. They will try to intimidate you. We need to be prepared. The Christian church in America is not prepared mentally, spiritually, or physically to stand up to the angry, hateful people who will get in their faces. But you want to make a difference in this country for Christ? It's time to step into the arena. You know, come on, people. It's time to get up off those pews. Many of you have sat in your church and listened to 1,000 sermons. Don't tell me you're not ready to get out there and get into the world. You know, if you think that your Christian duty is simply to warm a seat for an hour on Sunday morning, you are seriously deluded. It's now or never for people to speak out of the Christian faith, because the way things are shaping up, if the Democrats take the White House in November, I fully expect to see a crackdown on religious freedom in this nation. And I'm talking about a Mao Zedong style crackdown, because Mao is one of the heroes of both Democrat presidential contenders. And the entire Democrat Party is sold out to totalitarianism. You know, I often bill myself as America's leading liberalologist because I've been studying this problem for quite a few years. And I can tell you that the number one goal of liberalism is total domination of the population. There's a prominent psychiatrist named Lyle Rossiter, and he wrote a book a few years back called The Liberal Mind. And Dr. Rossiter makes the case that liberalism is a neurosis, and he cites the fact that they are just obsessed with running the lives of people who are perfectly capable of running their own lives. But when you stop and think about it, the left, they desperately try to control what we eat, where we're allowed to live, what we can teach our kids, what kind of cars we can drive, on and on and on. You know, how much water we're allowed to use. I mean, it's just never ending. So
everybody
anyway,
wants the same, so no one can be ostracized because that wouldn't be fair. It's
well,
truly mind-blowing.
I'm not sure that their fairness applies to the men and women of faith. We seem to be the whipping boys and girls, and that's the way it's been, you know, ever since Christ walked this earth. You know, there are some Christians who are concerned.
I'm going to interrupt you again here. That's the philosophy of communism. You have to make everybody the same or as much the same as you can, and anybody who won't fit in the box needs to be eliminated. And by eliminated, I mean killed. Take them away. You kill them quietly where those people in the box can't see it so that they stay happy in their box. That's what it is.
Yeah. And
history
watch
people,
has, I mean, history
I
has
know,
the
I
mass grave to prove that.
Yeah. They just, the logic, they can say two completely different and opposing things in the same sentence and not realize what they've said. It's amazing.
I can explain that. Liberalism tends to think with its emotions rather than the brain. You know, and when you think with your emotions, you know, the emotions fly in any direction the wind happens to be blowing. I mean, you know, the Walt Disney's advice, you know, follow your heart. It will never lead you astray is a big pile of horse pucky. You read the Bible, God warns us about the human heart, that it's desperately evil and wicked. And there's really only one source for you to base your thinking on, and that is a biblical worldview. And since we have allowed them to destroy the Ten Commandments and remove the scriptures from the public square and our children, we've got a whole generation of lost people out there who just don't know any better. And I think they are starving to hear biblical truth. We just have to have the courage to take it out there. Because I absolutely guarantee you that for every bad guy who gets in your face and says, we don't want to hear this, nine people are going to come up and say, ooh, is that the Bible? I have a question. What about this? What about that? I think if people would actually get out there and talk to people, I think they would be pleasantly surprised. And one of the missions of the Outlaws Chapel is going to be a school project. And I did this down in Satellite Beach, Florida, a couple of years ago, and it worked like a charm. Went down there with two friends, and we set up a little card table across the street from the high school and flew a banner that said, free New Testaments for students. And when the students got out of school, they flocked to us. We gave away New Testaments, and the kids loved it. One girl just hugged it to her chest and says, oh, I've wanted one of these for a long time. And, of course, some kids gave us the finger. So what? I don't care. And, of course, somebody called the cops. And when the officers got there, said, what are you doing? So I showed them the New Testament. I said, this is part of the Respect Project. We're using these to help teach kids to respect their families, their teachers, and police officers. He smiled. He said, carry on, and drove away. So no problem at all. So, you know, just little missions like that can just have a tremendous effect on a community and on the kids. We just have to have the courage to step outside our church doors and meet the world.
All right. And with that, I'm going to thank you for coming on. It was a real blessing to me. and I hope a blessing to those who listen. We are all an irate, tireless minority of one. We can all make a difference, and we're all supposed to. Get out there and make a difference, folks. Thank you, Bill.
You betcha. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.